You are listening to the Survived to Thrive podcast with Amy Miller, a podcast for survivors of suicide loss. In this weekly podcast, you will learn more about your unique experiences and gain insights on your brain and how it processes grief and loss due to a loved one's suicide. While suicide grief comes in all shapes and sizes, Amy shows you that you still can have a life full of joy and fulfillment even though your loved one died. You don't have to just survive anymore. You can thrive.
You are listening to the Survive to Thrive podcast with Amy Miller, episode number 69, Ruminating After Loss. Hey there, friends. Welcome to the podcast. So glad you're here with me today. Okay, so today is April 8th, 2024, and I'm recording this podcast just after the solar eclipse. Wow, what an amazing opportunity we have in this time to be able to witness such an incredible and amazing event. It's just such a reminder of how small we are in this vast universe, and it really helps us to gain perspective, I think, on how incredible the universe is. I just think it's so amazing and spectacular. I've always been so fascinated with things like that. It was just a few weeks ago when I was driving my daughter home from track practice, and I witnessed the SpaceX launch of their rocket. And I just was so blown away by that. And it's just amazing to be able to witness things in this day and time and age that we're in. I just think it's so fascinating. So I hope you all were able to witness it. I hope you all had your protective glasses so that you could see it. I was not able to see it in its totality simply because I live in Arizona. I'm sure many of you were able to see it if you were in the U.S. somewhere along its path. And I bet it was amazing. So anyways, enough about that. So I want to talk about ruminating because I feel like this is a topic that comes up quite a bit for survivors of suicide loss. I think it's something that shows up for us, right? It's almost like it's a symptom of going through the experience, right? Where survivors of suicide loss tend to ruminate on the past, on the coulda, shoulda, wouldas, the things that they said, the things that they did, or just ruminate on the loss itself. And it just seems to show up, and it can be a very difficult, challenging thing to work through as a survivor. So I thought it would be really important to have a discussion about it today, talk about what it is, how it shows up, and lastly, steps we can take or things that we can try that will help us to overcome rumination. Okay, so the APA describes rumination as obsessional thinking involving excessive repetitive thoughts or themes that interfere with other forms of mental activity. And it's an interesting thing because these are what I like to call thought loops. It's where we start having this excessive thought that seems to just show up over and over. No matter how logical or illogical it is, it just seems to keep showing up. And it really just stunts us, right? It keeps us from moving forward. It keeps us from carrying on in life. It really can be a hindrance in our progression, right? So I think it's important to really be aware of them, to understand what causes them, and to take some actions to hopefully overcome them, okay? Now, one of the things that I think causes these thought loops or rumination is believing that ruminating will help you to gain more insight into the problem, right? I think that we seem to think that if we think about it over and over again, we're going to be able to solve it. But the thing is, what comes up, especially in loss due to suicide, it's a problem that can never be solved, right? It's a problem that seems to be, that always takes us to a dead end, right? And I think that this idea that if we could go back in time, if we could have said something different, if we could have done something different, if we could have took some sort of action to help prevent the outcome, it never is really useful, right? Because first off, it's in the past, it's already happened. And there's nothing, no matter how much we think about it, we could do to change what has already happened, right? The only thing that we can truly change is the way that we think about it, right? So I think it's not really useful for us to ruminate over it, but it is something that is rooted in the idea that if we do ruminate it, you'll be able to understand the problem more and that you could potentially solve it, right? The second cause is when we've experienced a traumatic event or we have a history of trauma, either physically or emotionally. And when we have experienced a traumatic event like we have, when it comes to losing a loved one, someone that we care about to suicide, that is really traumatic, okay? Now, maybe not everyone, because everyone's grief experience is different, would describe it as traumatic, but it can trigger these thought loops that we have when we experience it. It helps us, our brains, to make more sense of the trauma that we have experienced. Another thing that causes rumination is when we're facing ongoing stressors, okay, that seem to trigger this rumination, right? Maybe we're in a very stressful job. Maybe we're in a stressful relationship. Maybe we're in a stressful situation, right? Having these ongoing stressors can also create and cause rumination, okay? But one thing I have found that I find very interesting, and what they have learned as they've studied people who are more susceptible to rumination, is there's these certain characteristics can be factored in to be a cause of the more likelihood of being susceptible to ruminating. And that is perfectionism, anxiety, somebody who's prone to anxiety, or people that tend to worry. Okay. And these characteristics seem to be precursors to having a greater chance of experiencing rumination. Okay. So now that we understand what rumination is, and some of the top causes of rumination and the characteristics that could potentially be involved, what are some things that we can do about it? Now, I think this is what is really important to know and understand, because I think this will help you, especially if you're really struggling with rumination. The first one, and when I talk about this first one, I want you to be careful and not misunderstand what I mean. So the first one is distracting yourself, okay? Now, before I tell you what that looks like, what it doesn't look like is overdrinking, overeating, binge watching Netflix, things that we could do that help to numb the pain, but also cause a net negative result, right? Because when we are really in a place where we're starting to ruminate, and so we turn to drinking alcohol to help stop that, it is creating a net negative because it is doing things to our liver. It is doing things to our brain. It is doing things that are just not healthy for our bodies. And so not only are you not solving for the ruminating, but you're also adding a toxin into your system that is not good. So a net negative is what I mean. Same with overeating, right? When you're overeating, you might be over intaking calories, sugars, things of that nature, which also have a negative impact on your body. Okay. So I want you to be careful when I'm talking about distracting ourselves, because that's not what I mean. Okay. What I'm talking about is doing a small thing that can help disrupt the thought loop. For example, you might want to go for a walk. Okay, just a simple walk to help change up your environment to help you get distracted a little bit from the thought that you are ruminating about. Okay. Another thing is you can pick up a book, right? Something that you really enjoy reading, something uplifting that will also help to disrupt the ruminating thought. Or you could listen to uplifting music or go exercise. Some survivors really to do some sort of running or weightlifting or doing something of that nature. Running is one I enjoy doing, but it could be any kind of exercise. But just getting your body moving and getting your blood circulating and your heart rate up is really great for helping you to disrupt those ruminating thoughts. Or maybe you could just get out and do gardening or yard work or do some household chores that really distract you from ruminating. Okay. These are just a few things you can do. But the idea really is to distract yourself from the ruminating thought with doing something, some sort of activity, an action, something that you're moving your body with, something that kind of disrupts what's going on in your mind. Okay. The second thing that I think is really great and can be very useful is to really break it down. Sometimes the ruminating thoughts are really big negative thoughts. For example, you may be thinking that you are not good enough. That could be a ruminating thought that occurs regularly in your mind, right? Trying to eliminate a big, large thought such as that can be very difficult to do. So it's so much easier if you break it down into why you're thinking those bigger thoughts. For example, if that thought is, I'm not good enough, ask yourself why. Okay. And maybe the reason why is because you failed a test. Okay. So if you think more about that as opposed to this bigger thought, it really helps you to refocus, right? And the more specific you get on the smaller thought, the better, because the littler thoughts are easier to address than the larger thoughts, right? If you find yourself really having a struggle isolating smaller thoughts, right? Just continue to ask yourself questions about that thought to help you to gain more clarity. Okay. And that will really be helpful because the idea is to break it down to help disrupt the looping thought. Okay. So ask yourself a lot of questions about it, break it down, break down the smaller thoughts. And once you're able to work through those smaller thoughts, then you can address the next one. Okay. The third thing that I think really is an excellent tip to try out is to work it out, whether it's changeable or not. Okay. So in suicide loss, you won't be able to change the outcome of your loss, but you most certainly can change the way you think about the outcome. Okay. Now, I know it sounds really difficult to do because most of us are going to want to feel bad and feel sad and feel discouraged. And they want to feel guilty. They want to take some of that responsibility on, right? But here's the thing. A lot of these thoughts that we're thinking can be very negative in our lives and show up in a very negative way. And a lot of times the results we're receiving by the way we're thinking about things are not results that we particularly want. Right? So in order to get better results in our lives, we really have to address these negative thoughts. We really have to really think about them. And I think it's super empowering for us to know that we have the ability and we get to choose how we think about things, right? So we get to choose how we think about the outcome, right? Now, you get to decide what that looks like for you, and what it looks like for you might not look the same as it does for me, okay? But the idea is just to understand and know that each and every one of us has the ability to do so. Okay. The next tip I want to share with you is to gain a better perspective by revisiting your looping thought, okay? For survivors, usually it's the what ifs or if the onlys, which leads to a lot of guilt and regrets. Okay. Sometimes just a small tweak can significantly alleviate the pain of the situation, right? It can help alleviate some of that guilt or that regret, right? For example, one of the recurring thoughts that I really struggled with is that I wish I would have been able to talk to her before she made the decision to die by suicide, right? And it wasn't a very useful thought, yet it felt like if I would have had that chance, if I would have had that moment to really talk to her, that I could have had an impact on her choosing to do it. But the thing is, it's not super useful because she already decided, she already died. And how was I supposed to know that she was going to choose that? Then none of us knew. I didn't know. We didn't know. And so it really wasn't very useful for me to keep thinking that thought about it. So what I decided to do in order to tweak the thought is to just decide that if I would have known, I would have done everything in my power to have stopped it, but I didn't know. Okay. And once I was able to tweak that thought and phrase it in a way that feels like I did the best that I could, that I did everything I knew to do at the time, that I only knew what I knew back then, right? It really helped me to alleviate some of that guilt that I was carrying. So it's just a matter of having the ability to tweak it just a little bit to help you gain a better perspective, right? And to revisit that thought in such a way that helps to alleviate some of the pain point, okay, of it. All right. The fifth thing that I suggest is work on regaining your confidence, okay? This, to me, is one of the most important things that we can do as survivors of suicide loss, is learning to regain our confidence. I can't even tell you how many survivors of suicide loss feel so derailed. They feel so unconfident after losing someone because they've experienced something that they had zero control over, right? And it happened, they can't change the outcome. And so many survivors just feel like their confidence has been shaken by the core, right? So one of the things I highly suggest, in fact, I have a workshop that I recently just taught a class on how to regain your confidence, which I'll share in the show notes. But once you're able to really take steps to regain your confidence, it has such a huge impact on our ability to overcome ruminating. It's a real interesting connection and a real interesting way to approach it, but it certainly has such a huge impact and it really works. So I highly recommend doing it. Okay. Number six, be aware of your activators. Okay. These are things that cause things, right? For example, when you find yourself ruminating, make a mental note where you are at, what time of day it is, who you are with, what you are doing, and anything that is happening around you that you feel like causes it to be activated. Okay. I think being mindful of these is really important because when we recognize that, hey, when I'm with this certain person, I find myself going back to these ruminating thoughts, right? And I think it's really important to be mindful of it because once you understand what things are activating it, it helps you to prevent the ruminating thoughts in the first place. Okay, the seventh thing I want to talk about is talk it through with someone you trust, okay? But not with someone who will ruminate with you, okay? If you have someone who ruminates with you, it only makes it worse, Okay. I think it goes without saying, but I think it's an important reminder that sometimes we feel like when we go to someone and we want to talk about someone, we just want someone to help validate our feelings. Okay. And that's okay. But we need someone who will not ruminate with us. Okay. Someone who can actually look at this with an outside perspective and to help us gain clarity on the rumination and what it is doing, what is not true, and to help us to decide how to really look at our thoughts from a different perspective. So I think it's really important to gain that outside perspective. Now, that might be through a therapist, through a coach like myself, through a trusted friend, okay? Someone that you know that just won't be agreeable with you, maybe a family member, okay? Someone that can really look at it from an outside perspective. And I think it really does help. Now, the eighth and last thing that I really want to talk about and discuss is about doing this really slowly and consistently. Sometimes we feel like, okay, I'm sick of ruminating. I just want to go all in and I just want to stop. But sometimes when we go all in, we do too much at a time and it doesn't really work. It actually causes it to be ineffective a lot of times. So I think just introducing one of these steps and trying it one thing at a time just to start, okay, and slowly work on it, because sometimes these ruminating thoughts will occur over and over and over and over again, and it'll be so habitual that it'll be really challenging to overcome, okay? But just note in the back of your mind that as you work on it, as you try these things, and as you continually and consistently utilize them, you're going to find yourself making progress and you're going to do better each and every time you try. So remember that as you are trying to overcome ruminating. All right, my friends. So that's it for today's episode. I hope you learned a few things that you can apply to help you, especially if you are stuck in ruminating. And I hope you'll try these tips and that you'll see some success. All right, friends, thanks for listening. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Survived to Thrive podcast. If you like this podcast, please share with your friends and write a review on iTunes. Also, check out survived-to-thrive.com for more information and to subscribe to get the podcast's latest episode, along with useful tips you can begin to use immediately to feel better, directly sent to your inbox.